Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. We've got some great interviews coming up this afternoon. I'd really love everybody to listen to them all, and particularly the one that's on 2 to 3, which is Cancer Chicks. I'd love to think that maybe we can do something for them in the Yarra Valley, but we'll be talking about to them between 2 and 3. Between 1 and 2, we'll be talking to Cindy McLeish. But it's my pleasure now to introduce a lady we've spoken to on a number of occasions, and that's Heidi down at Anchor. How are you, Heidi?
Good. How are you, Alan?
I'm very well too, thank you. Now, one of the things I've got to ask you, I can't remember, if because I haven't seen you for a while, but I've interviewed you since you did your big swim. How did that go?
Yes, it went well. I got down the Derwent River in a reasonable time, 8.5 hours. Yes, I had to wait for a tanker for 15 minutes that needed to go first out of the river.
Yep.
So that was interesting. Now I'm an official, I've officially got my Triple Crown of Australian Swimming.
Terrific. Now, I've just got to ask you, Heidi, because we're not here to talk about your swimming.
No.
Two things I've got to ask you. Do you just swim the whole 8 hours, or do you get half-hour breaks, or what happens?
No, you just keep going. That's what long-distance swimming is about. You do get fed off of the boat. They throw you out a line, and you usually have a bottle of some sort of foul-tasting thing, and that keeps you going. So, no, you certainly do not stop for any period of time. Keep going as hard as you can.
Oh, Ben. Heidi, yes. Now that you've done that, that was obviously on your bucket list.
Yes.
So what do you do next?
Oh, that's what everybody asks. If you ask my partner, he would say nothing.
But he does stuff too, though.
No, he does. No. Look, to be honest with you, Alan, that was a sort of a 2 or 3 year exercise, getting my Triple Crown, those three big swims. I'm sort of taking a little bit of a break, and I'll get back into doing something. I'm sure that something will come my way in the near future.
So you don't have any plans for this year?
Not this year. I'll probably do a Victorian swim in February next year. But, I'm just sort of trying to enjoy myself a bit, Alan, really, do some fun things.
And be grandmum as well.
Yes, that's right. That's very important.
Certainly is. Now, Heidi, I didn't invite you along to talk about it, but I just thought we'd like to upgrade the audience of what you did. Now, it's National Recognition Week this week. So I've got to ask, first of all, what does that mean to Anchor, and what is Anchor doing about it?
Well, first of all, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of land that we're on today. Yep. I think we're on the same lands, but you and I, Alan, but they are the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. So I'd like to acknowledge that. I also like to acknowledge that land and sovereignty was never ceded. So, look, National Reconciliation Week is a very important week. It kicks off with National Sorry Day, which was yesterday.
Yep.
And your listeners may very well have listened to media last night, yesterday and last night. And I think that, there's while Aboriginal people are grateful for us saying sorry for the wrongs of the past, there's still so many gaps and so many issues in their communities that are not getting attention or the attention that they need. And so for us, Sorry Day is very, very important, and it's very important because we provide child and family services. And, of course, National Sorry Day is a time that Australians, say sorry for the past injustices of government policy, which really produced the stolen generations. And that was really probably about nearly on 100 years of a policy, government policies that believed that children, that they were doing a better thing for Aboriginal children, particularly Aboriginal children that had perhaps an Anglo relative. So it might have been an Anglo mum or dad. And particularly for those kids, the Australian governments believed that it was much better for them to assimilate into the Anglo and the British, really, culture than it was for them to stay in their own culture. But instead, I guess, of the policy being a sort of a negotiated kind of thing with Aboriginal people, unfortunately, government of the day just took it on themselves to just kind of just go out and basically take children in that circumstance by force. Yeah.
And do you think that a lot of that was done by white people who just didn't bother to talk to the Indigenous and just say, well, we know what's best for you, bad luck?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, in reality, the people actually doing the work, and then the people that worked in the children's homes that most of these Aboriginal children went to, yeah, they were well-intentioned for the time. But I guess that it was, it's that colonisation. It's that sort of complete disregard that people that have been living in a place actually have been living there for tens of thousands of years very successfully. Yep. But all of a sudden that success was really thrown out the window. And yep. and people came in and said, well, it's much more successful if you come along with our way and assimilate. And it was, the whole theory of it we now kind of cringe a bit at, although I'm sure that many of your listeners, would want the best intentions for every child that's in the community. We would want the best care and the best for all of the children. But at the time, as I said, it was forcible. There was force used, and usually police. Yep. And I think even to this day, police do a lot of work that really test their moral. If you think about what the police had to do back in COVID, a lot of police said, morally, we're really struggling with this, pulling people off the street and fining them. And, so the police often, for the time they've been around in Australia, have often been asked to do things, maybe they didn't necessarily believe to be right. But I guess that Sorry Day is actually really not about, people today, our generation, that Aboriginal people know that we didn't do it, we weren't responsible.
Yep.
But they also say, well, the fact of the matter is, yes, we understand you as in you individual, were not responsible, but society was responsible.
Yep.
So there's still some responsibility that we need to take. And for Anchor, that's a very very important to us that we take that responsibility. So we went along to the Sorry Day event at Knox yesterday.
Heidi, can I just take a break? Just need to take a break. I was going to ask, that was going to be the next question, what you've done. So we'll hold that over. I'll take a quick break and back.
Am I living? Oh, what a funny thing to say. But there's alive and then there's living. Am I living for today? And I'm getting older with every memory I make. Now that I'm older with these moments, will I live for them or just throw them away? Away.
Bitch, your mama always said, look up into the sky, find the sun on a cloud.
That was Tones and I with Cloudy Day, and I'm talking to Heidi down at Anchor. Now, unfortunately, I had to take that break, Heidi, but you were just going to tell us some of the things that Anchor are doing for the National Reconciliation Week. Put my teeth back in.
Yeah, it started with Sorry Day yesterday. Yep. There was a ceremony at Knox Council. They always do a really good ceremony.
Right.
And they had Uncle Kutcher Edwards there yesterday as the keynote speaker.
Right.
Uncle Kutcher is a survivor of the Stolen Generations.
He was one himself, was he?
Yes, yes. I have met him before, actually. He's a very powerful speaker. And an incredible musician. So if your listeners go on to Google or Spotify, or you know, they'll find that he's on this beautiful musician.
Heidi, can I just ask you, did he find his original family, or was it too late, like his mother and father?
No. Never saw his father again. Did see his mother. He had lots of siblings. They were all separated. So he was he was only 18 months old, and he, you know, didn't see any of his siblings for many years. He is connected up with some of his siblings, I understand, but essentially there's a big hole that sat in his life, a big hole. And, you know, he sang a song yesterday about when he was getting a bit older. I think when he was 6 or 7, He wrote a song about his mum visiting him and a couple of his brothers when she was allowed to visit, and it was about Mrs. Edwards. It's time to go to catch the train, the last train, otherwise you'll miss it, and just that pain of mum has to go. And as he said at 6 years of age, he was terrified of his mother. He didn't know who she was. He was really terrified of her. So, you know, his story is just one of many. He would definitely say that his story is one of thousands, tens of thousands. But I guess that we do that. And then now today, we officially National Reconciliation Week has started.
Yep.
And for us, this, you know, reconciliation is really about walking alongside. It's actually about strengthening relationships between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and non-Indigenous peoples for the benefit of all Australians. You know, I don't think any of us want to live in a country where there's angst and conflict between, you know, the two groups of people, Indigenous and non-Indigenous. I don't think we want that. So, you know, reconciliation is about strengthening the relationships that we have with each other and walking alongside and respecting. And I guess that for, you know, Uncle Kutcher was talking a lot about, you know, that his culture and the way that they do things, they've been doing things for tens of thousands of years. And, you know, all they're asking for is for that to be respected, for them to be able to practice their culture. For them to be out, for their culture to be respected, that's their culture, it's not ours, it's not white Australians. But it's also, you know, accepting the past. You know, unfortunately, as Kutcher said, that, you know, a lot of what's happened in the past and still happens to this day is political. And for, you know, us as sort of just regular Australians, we've got to stand up and be counted. And I think that's what Reconciliation Week is all about this year, is it's all in. We're all in this together, not just a sort of a group of people that are specially paid to do that, or, you know, or that's their problem over there, somewhere over there and not in my backyard. But that's what Reconciliation Week is about. And I guess that what people would have heard on the media yesterday is that in so many ways, while progress has been made, there's still an awfully long way to go. We're having deaths in custody. We're having overrepresentation of Aboriginal people in homelessness, justice, child protection, poverty, etc. And I think we've had a recent time with lots and lots of publicity around it, of course, with the little girl in Alice Springs who was murdered.
Terrible, yep.
And we all, you know, we all at those moments come together as society and go, oh, my goodness, how can that happen? That's so terrible. But what people need to think about is the layers that sit underneath that. So how did that happen? What were the drivers? What was going on? And what have we dropped the ball on? And definitely, you know, housing. I've seen the housing out in those communities. It's not right for those cultures. And it's a lot of it's run down and that sort of thing. People live in big groups in small houses, which causes
problems anyway.
So, and then, you know, I guess closer to home here in Victoria, you know, there's still an overrepresentation of Aboriginal children coming into the child protection system.
Is there?
Oh, absolutely, a huge overrepresentation. And I think that, you know, we look at a statistic, 23-24, that 57,800 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children came into contact with child protection systems across the country.
It's a lot
of kids, and we need to ask ourselves, why is that so?
Heidi, I've got to take another quick break,
sure.
And we'll be back with more. I've got a couple of other things I want to ask you,
sure.
too. Talking to Heidi from Anchor, and we're talking about the National Recognition Award.
Reconciliation
Week. Oh, man, something wrong with my teeth. Heidi, you know, and I think the listeners know that this is not a political show, and I do everything I can to keep away from politics. And so when I talk about politics, I'm talking about both sides. I'm not having a go at either side. Do you think over the years, governments, and I'm talking both sides, have thought to themselves, yep, there's a problem here, we'll throw some money at it and it'll go away? And very often that the people, that they just employ people and the money gets used up in sort of coming up with programs, not necessarily going to the people that we should we're talking to. Is that a fair comment, or am I being a bit unfair there?
No, I think it's a fair comment, and I don't think, you know, as you say, it's both sides of politics, and I don't think it's anyone's particular fault, because I think people didn't really understand. But I guess that, you know, a live example for me in the area I operate in, so recently, the last year or two, legislation in Victoria has changed so that when there's child protection intervention or, you know, concerns for a child's safety, VACA and a couple of other organisations, so Aboriginal controlled organisations, yep, are able to take on a referral from the government when there's been a report of harm, right, or suspected harm, and they're able to investigate it, work with the families, and if a child needs alternate guardianship besides their birth parents, they can also do that. So Auntie Miriam can actually be the guardian of children instead of the Minister for Community Services. And I was really blown away. I went to a presentation with VACA a year or so ago, and them talking about the work that they did around children who came into care because of, you know, serious harm and serious concerns, but the work that they were able to do and the communication they were able to have with birth families and just the understanding they had was extraordinary. And I just sort of thought to myself, no wonder the rest of us are not getting anywhere with this. These people understand their own community. They understand, they have a different, perhaps a different way of looking at things. They probably get a lot more trust. They develop a lot more trust with birth families who are then able to be a lot more open and honest with them about what's going on, what help they need, etc. But I can tell you the outcomes were extraordinary, and so many kids have been restored back to their birth families. We, you know, and in the white system that I'm a part of, you know, we never really achieve any of that. So I think when you actually give the money to Aboriginal controlled organisations who have the capacity and capability, you get outstanding results.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I just was listening, and some of your listeners, if they listened to Radio National, they would have heard that there's a housing program that started in Tennant Creek with an Aboriginal man and like a designer architect man. Basically, they've built the first culturally appropriate home in remote places in Tennant Creek, and you know, what they were saying was just beautiful. The place has, I think it's four bedrooms or something, but it has two kitchens, two lots of living areas, you know, wraparound veranda. So the ones that they build now have no verandas, which is ridiculous because you spend so much time outside in those remote places because it's hot. Air conditioning, that sort of thing. And what this guy was explaining, this elder was explaining, is that there are certain customs with Aboriginal people that you know that means that a father is not allowed to look at or be seen with a particular person in a family, etc. They have quite stringent laws that keep people safe.
And
as he said, with the two kitchens and two living areas, he can have family and mob, you know, visit and plenty of room. And they can all kind of adhere to what they do, what their customs and culture is, and be cool and not be living in like fibro boxes.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, Heidi.
Yeah.
I can remember years ago, I think it was down Tyres or somewhere, though the government, again, a government, was building houses, but yeah, I heard that they weren't what the Indigenous people wanted at all. They just, that wasn't their style.
No, and you know, there are really particular things like wraparound verandas because, you know, to spend time outside, like areas within the house that are segregated, that big enough houses so that family can visit, you know, often because families move around.
Yep.
So what they build are these tiny little things with no verandas, one bathroom, you know, one kitchen maybe, and then people sort of say, well, why are these houses overcrowded? Well, they're overcrowded because we haven't built to the cultural, you know,
what
cultural needs.
What they need.
what they need. So I think it just in those two circumstances, they it's very true that if you give money to Aboriginal controlled business,
yep,
you get a better result.
Sounds good. Heidi, I've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. I just want to go back one thing that you mentioned before, if I can. You were saying that handing the money over to some of these other organisations where the Indigenous are involved, it's they get a better trust now. Do you think, and you've been involved in this now for a number of years, do you think the trust between us, and what I mean by us, is white Anglo-Saxon, is the trust between that and the Indigenous getting any better, or is there still a distrust there?
Look, I think on a general community level, I would suggest that, that trust is building and has been building over time.
Yep.
But I guess that... you know, it was interesting yesterday. One of the guy who was the MC for the day is an Aboriginal person. Sort of was saying to mob yesterday, look, you know, often the police turn up and walk up alongside us, and I've seen the police at those things, quite high-ranking police officers. They weren't there yesterday, probably going to another event. But he said, you know, that just, you know, I suppose a trigger warning that they may be here, but they're actually walking alongside us, and that the people that come really want to, you know, make a difference. So I think in many just that general community, I would say, yes, trust is, you know, is sort of building. But I guess that, you know, trust is also very fragile. It only takes, you know, things like when they had the Welcome to Country business, I think at the football or the cricket or somewhere or other, and people were, oh, no, Anzac Day.
At the Shrine at Anzac Day.
I know, it only takes something like that and we go backwards.
And so, it can only be one person that starts
person,
or two, doesn't
I know.
It?
I know. So the trust is fragile, but I would say that on a general level, the Australian, many more Australians or people who live in Australia are more aware of Indigenous culture and, Indigenous ways. I'd just like to just share something that the whole of the anchor staff went to Callista back in March to the Grant's Picnic Ground. I'm sure many of your listeners would have walked around there. I have many, many a time. And we had a guided cultural tour done by the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung Cultural Heritage Aboriginal Corporation. And we just walked around and they showed us things like plants and what that they were used for and, oh, here was this and here. And I just reflected. I've walked that walk and I've walked up there hundreds of times, as I'm sure many of you listeners.
Yep.
And I didn't know that certain plants were used for, headaches, or something over here was used for something else, or, like in a tree that I've walked past so many times, there's an incision where they've taken it out for a canoe. Do you know what I mean? And my staff were just like, wow, it's here and we don't know and we don't notice it. So I just urge people to just go out in their own backyards and actually think about who lived here before, how did they live, what would they have done when they, when they needed to get food or cook food or whatever. I think just being mindful that actually where we are now, where we live now and how we live now is in the passage of time is a blip, is a tiny speck.
if we live in a street where you do and I do, you sort of think those houses have been there for hundreds of years and everybody's lived the same, but that's not true. The house I lived in the house that we own wasn't built, 100 years ago.
No, well, I mean, when we're talking tens of thousands of years, I think it's really important for people during this week to really reflect on, the history, the culture, how they themselves can make just that little bit of difference, and sometimes all that means is for people to, oh, okay. So, like, for a long time, I've lived in Mordialloc for a long time, I didn't realise there was a meeting place just opposite my place, an Aboriginal meeting place.
Yeah,
I didn't know. And I went over there, oh, okay. And I think it's just noticing in your busy day, people rushing around, just notice that actually things weren't always the way they are right now.
No, we tend to think it is. Heidi, does Anchor have anything else coming up for this week, or is...
we've got teams that are going to the event on Thursday. There's a big event at Healesville, actually, just near you. Cardinia have got an event on Thursday, and we'll be also doing something down in Sale, down in Gippsland. So you can go on to a website, the www.reconciliation.org.au, and find out what's happening close to where you are, and just go and have a look. Can't hurt. Go and have a look. See what happens.
So give us that again.
www.reconciliation.org.au.
Right. And there's something on in Hills where you said.
There is, yes, tomorrow on Thursday. Yes, I'm not sure of the details of it, but Yarra Rangers Council are running it. They usually do. I mean, you've got a lot of, you've got many, many people, many, many mob out your way, out to Hillsville Way with the Corranderk history, which is just up the road, the mission. So there's a lot of Aboriginal people that live around the area that were descendants of people that were born and bred and lived in Corranderk. So you've got a really strong community out there.
Sure. All right, I've got to take one more quick break and we'll be back with more. Talking to Heidi from Anchor, and we're talking about National Recognition Week. I should write it out properly, shouldn't I? Heidi, if Heidi, if what would you say to people? Because there will be a few people listening to us today who will say, "My parents never did anything wrong." What's it to do with me?
Look, I mean, I think that, you know, what my Uncle Kutcher said yesterday is that Aboriginal people don't blame individuals who are living today. They don't blame them.
Yep.
But it, unfortunately, it's the whole of society that needs to be accountable. So we're part of that. And so we need to take some accountability. And really, Sorry Day and what we're trying to do in Reconciliation Week is not actually repeat the wrongs of the past. So
to learn from history.
That's right. To learn from history, to respect history, to respect the truth. And that's all Aboriginal people are asking. They understand it wasn't you or me, but it was a part of our culture, as a part of, you know, being non-Indigenous, that these things happened. And so living today means that we need to take, you know, some accountability. Can we change the past? No, we can't, but we can shape the future.
Yep. That sounds good. All right. Now, we've got about another 4 minutes, Heidi, so is there anything else you want to wrap up with just before
I have to go? These things are people sort of see things like reconciliation and all this sort of stuff that's on the media or things they read. They go, oh, God, you know, that how can I make a difference or what can I do? That doesn't involve me or, you know, or et cetera, et cetera. But I guess that this week, Reconciliation Action Week is about all in. It's about everyone every day thinking about this. It's not just doing it during this week or thinking about it in NAIDOC week or, you know, just on Sorry Day, but really reflecting and thinking. This is Australia. We're actually all Australians.
Yep.
And, you know, this is actually about caring for every Australian. And I think that's what was really powerful yesterday with Uncle Kutcher saying that he actually was born. He was born a non-Australian citizen. He was not an Australian citizen when he was born.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
Well, he was not an Australian citizen until 1967. So when he was born and his parents were born, they were not Australian citizens.
And yet they were here. They had a lot better claim to being an Australian citizen than well,
that's right.
I was born in Australia, but my father came from. Yeah. From England, so
yep.
they were classified as
yep. they were non citizens, and
right.
So that's only 1967. That's not very long ago.
Oh no!
And so you know, he made a sort of a quip of, you know, when people say to him, oh, you know, us Aussies, all us Aussies, you know, whatever, and he said, well, I may be a little different. I actually wasn't an Aussie until 1967. So
I'm amazed.
Yeah, oh no, that was the time. And really at the time, 1967, we all agreed as a country, absolutely, Aboriginal people should be counted as citizens.
Yeah.
I think we all thought that. But I guess that, you know, that along the way, and we have made progress, but we're still a long way to go. There's still huge gaps in outcomes for Aboriginal people as compared to non-Aboriginal people in life outcomes.
And health as well, isn't it?
Health, life expectancy, health outcomes, life expectancy, access to health services, access to education, et cetera, et cetera. So there's still those gaps. There's still, Aboriginal people, as I say, being arrested, in the justice system, still kids coming into care, still, you know, at our homelessness services out there at Lilydale, still a huge overrepresentation of Aboriginal people coming in saying, I don't have anywhere to sleep tonight. So,
Heidi, can I just go back one, Jeff, because we're really running out of time. This amazes me. Now, I was born prior to 65 and I automatically became an Australian citizen. So if there was an Indigenous people living beside me in, say, 62 and their child was born, they weren't considered an Australian.
No, that's right.
I find that staggering.
Right. Yep. And they weren't counted in the census. They were counted as flora and fauna or something crazy and ridiculous.
Hey,
so, So that was what the referendum in 1967 was about. So,
I'm staggered that a person that was born at my age or even after I was born, I automatically became an Australian citizen. They didn't.
So, you know, that was the reality of Australia and the reality of the way colonisation works. And it works the same, you know, throughout the world. You know, unfortunately, Australia's not the only place where colonisation, you know, colonises. And, you know, I'm actually English. I was born in England and I sort of say they're the worst of the worst. The bloody English.
Heidi, my father came out from England when he was four, I think, or five. My mother was born here, but I'm staggered. Heidi, look, unfortunately, we've got to go.
Lovely to talk to you, Alan. A great topic, and I hope your listeners enjoyed hearing about National Reconciliation Week and might go and have a bit of a Google.
I've got to say, every time I talk to you, you open my eyes.
Oh, very good, Alan. Yeah, lovely to talk to
you. Thanks, Heidi. See you, bye.
All right. See ya.